Today's magic number is 65. You know, unlike older retired baby boomers, the majority of peak 65ers don't have pensions, which used to help fill that gap left by Social Security. Well, our current retirement system is obsolete. It's time for a new retirement security framework. These were the words of Jason Fitchner, an executive director at the ALI Retirement Income Institute, and it highlights a great conversation that we're going to dive into today. The fact that so many people are going to be retiring over the course of the next couple of years, we are truly hitting the peak of retirement preparation right now. We'll give you the stats, we'll give you the implications, and what you can do if you fall into this group that's retiring very soon, all on today's show. So stay tuned. Scott's with us. We're ready to rock and roll. So let's get to it.
Let us help you reach your peak in retirement. It's time for Your Retirement Elevated.
Welcome back for another episode, Your Retirement Elevated. Walter Storholt here with Scott Dugan. Scott, welcome back to the show. It is great to talk with you, my friend. And I have to also say, not only welcome back to the show, but welcome back home, because you were on the road. Big industry, financial industry, educational event. The annual thing that you go to was in Las Vegas this year, and you got to make the trip out and see some fellow folks in the industry and have a good time out there, it sounds like.
It was a good time, and I'm not a gambler.
Right.
So Vegas normally doesn't have a lot of appeal to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I did meet my wife, Jennifer, in Las Vegas.
Is that right?
Randomly.
Okay.
By accident at a mutual friend's birthday party.
How about that?
So that's the one time I was extremely lucky in Vegas, and I want to keep my streak alive. So I don't
want
to gamble.
What happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas
that
day.
It did not stay in Vegas. So, but yeah, so actually it was nice, brutally cold, you know, in Kansas City, you know, 60, 65 degrees.
Got a little
in Las
break
Vegas.
From that, yeah.
And I will say that they have fantastic restaurants, great entertainment, and actually had a very interesting experience, which going out there, I'm like, they told us, hey, this really cool thing. We're going to go to this Sphere. Now, I'm sure everybody's seen, you know, what this Sphere looks like, you know, in Las Vegas. Like it's that big LED almost. They show it like as an eyeball that's in Las Vegas.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, it's cool. But I remember when they made a big deal out of the Cosmosphere down in Hutchinson, Kansas, and the IMAX theater thing. So I'm thinking, it's going to be cool. It's beyond cool. It is an experience. If you go to Vegas, you definitely should go. We saw a movie there. It's about an hour long. It's called Postcard from Earth. But I've never had an immersive experience in such. It's just a gigantic arena, for one. LED screen just wraps around you. And so as they're playing the movie, and it's a lot of landscape, you know, drones over mountains and down through valleys. And your stomach definitely kind of feels it as they're going over the hills.
Can imagine.
But so as they're flying through, you can look to your side and you still see the screen. And you look above and it's above you. So and as you're going, like one of the scenes was, I believe it was on the plains, and this big thunderstorm rolling in and thunder, and the seats vibrate and it's all timed with a thunder. And then they have giant fans that are actually behind the screen, so the wind blows as the gusts of wind, and it was pretty intense, and I'm very fortunate that we got to go see that.
I mean, I remember some stuff like that back in the day, like Walt Disney or Universal Studios down in Orlando, that kind of thing, where you'd go and you'd watch a clip from a movie or something, and yeah, the seats would shake a little bit, and you might have a little bit of water thrown into the crowd, and it just added to it. But now I'm imagining, you know, 20, 30 years later, and the money in Las Vegas and put into that Sphere. I can only imagine what that is like virtual reality on a mass scale.
Oh, yeah. I think $2.3 billion to build them.
It's crazy.
And the vibrating seats, it didn't start off right away. It was maybe 5 minutes in. It scared everybody. First time they went off, you just hear everybody go, "Oh," me included. It was startling for sure.
That is really cool. I'm looking at pictures of it, like from the outside, you know, and it's bizarre enough from the outside. I can't imagine them being in the Sphere and experiencing events in there.
Yeah, it was pretty wild, and it's taken off. I was just reading that I think they're plan on building 20 more of those around the world.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay. So they're going to take the concept and keep expanding it out. Interesting.
Yeah. It's the first real innovation to a venue in 3 decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And so it's going to be taken off. So yeah, in the midst of what sometimes seems like a crazy world, you know, people still innovate in times of craziness. The drum marches on, people still consume. And I always say, as long as your future is bigger than your past and we have something to look forward to, we always seem to find ways to get through trying times. And we have to have faith that we're going to be able to do it this time as well. And I think what we're talking about today, that Peak 65, it's happening this year. 2024 marks the beginning of Peak 65, which means, you know, more people turning 65 between 2024 and 2027 than any time in history. And over the past decade, it's been about 10,000 people a day turning 65. It's going to average about 11,200 people a day turning 65 for the next 4 years. So a little over 4.1 million people per year going into retirement.
It's amazing pretty that crazy. It begins this year, this true peak of retirement, and it brings with it all sorts of interesting statistics looking at who's at risk, retiring this year, what role things like Social Security play into the baby boomers, and the fact that everybody's going to be retired. All the baby boomers will be retired, or at least 65, I should say, not necessarily retired, by the end of the decade. It's going to come fast and furious for those folks.
It is. And, you know, one of the concerning trends that's emerging right now, and a lot of publications about it, is there's a significant portion of the peak 65 generation that lacks sufficient guaranteed income, which is putting them at risk of outliving their savings. And those are some of the stats we're going to go over today. And just that monumental shift that's happened during the baby boomers' lifespan. And so we're going to dig into that. It's not going to be all gloom and doom. We're going to talk about the facts. We don't want to get emotional about it. More importantly, we're going to talk about, what are planning things you can do to take advantage of Peak 65. So I want to wrap that up today with a positive note, but I do want to lay the groundwork and give you the statistics that I think are important of what's going on today. And I was just looking at the website that they have. It's got a little ticker. And so as of right now, we're recording this at 3:18, 7,609 people have turned 65 today.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that number's only going to go up as we get further along, huh?
It is. And so when we talk about that peak 65, and this is all this research was done by an organization called the Alliance for Lifetime Income. And 2024 brings the largest retirement surge in U.S. history. And it's definitely challenging that once reliable, we call that three-legged stool of employer pensions, leg number one, personal savings, number two, and number three would be Social Security. So when we've had this big shift away from guaranteed income sources and a challenging financial landscape, you know, let's face it, you know, 2022, most of 2023 was kind of a volatile time. 2020 was obviously the pandemic. So we've had a lot of volatility and upheaval. And so Americans can face a heightened retirement level of insecurity. And what the Alliance for Lifetime Income is saying, hey, we need a new framework that prioritizes sufficient protected income and really is calling on essential policy changes for employers and the government just to start rethinking. It's like, what do you put in place? What do you allow people to do to give them a higher level of security? And so I think one of the interesting statistics that they put in here is that when you think about Social Security, right now, Social Security provides about 37% of the retirement income an American household is going to need to live their lifestyle. 37%.
Yeah. It's a bit shocking of a number, isn't it?
It is. So where does that, if we talk about that three-legged stool, so if we've got 100% of our needs, 37% are coming from Social Security. If you don't have a pension, that means all the rest of that is on you. You are responsible for generating that money to fill that gap. And now I've built a business around serving people, showing them how to plan their paycheck, you know, plan for retirement income. We definitely have a bend towards tax efficiency, because every dollar that we don't lawfully have to pay in taxes is a dollar you get to keep and you get to spend. And so that Social Security, we want to make sure we optimize that to the plan. But taking that nest egg, that life savings, and turning that into a reliable, dependable income stream or a paycheck, that's what most people are lacking. That's what causes a lot of people anxiety, is not knowing how much do you need to save, which you have saved, how much of a paycheck can I get from that? And more importantly, how do I structure my investments in a way that it can provide a paycheck that I'm going to be comfortable with? All right. And so if you think about the big change to, you know, this peak 65 generation. So when they entered the labor market in 1980, 60% of private sector workers relied upon protected income. So really, you know, pension income. So 60%. If you look at 2020, the stats say only 4% have a pension.
Just a bit of a difference.
A wee bit of a difference. So you think about that shift in responsibility at that time. What fueled that time frame is the massive flow of money into Wall Street via the 401k and IRAs. So think about this thing rolls out. You can have it automatically deducted from your paycheck, sent to your 401k and invested. And this is, remember, this is the entering into the workforce, the peak 65 generation. So think about the 80s. Now you got 87, you know, market correction. But the 90s, you know, were go, go, go. 2000 to 2010, they call that the lost decade, because we kind of just sputtered around. And then, you know, getting out of, you know, 2010 was a pretty good run, a few bumps there. And then 2020 happens, and then we start to see that the volatility because of the pandemic, and then battling inflation is where we are today. Interest rates are starting to come down a little bit. Fed talks about cutting rates. I don't know if there's going to be aggressive as the market wants. You know, so there's this battle going on. But during that time, we talk about that workforce. There's a record number of people that exited the workforce prior to 65 during this time because of the craziness. We had a lot of people getting referred to us or calling us saying, hey, we were going to work another 5 years, but we're going to go ahead and we need to talk. Can we do this today? When can we do it? And when you compound that uncertainty, a lot of people, almost 79%, are worried about the cost of healthcare in retirement. That's another factor that they have to worry about. And so there's just a level, I think, of uncertainty that a lot of people have because of just the shift in the economy, what's gone on in the markets, just that uncertainty. And then you compound that, you know, to an election year. And not only is it an election year in the United States, this year across the world, over 4 billion people are going to cast a ballot. Half of the world's billion? Population.
Wow.
There are elections across the world, key elections, that over 4 billion people are going to cast a ballot and vote. So not just the U.S. There's a lot of other places. And I listened to a podcast recently about that, and I was stunned. I'm like, holy cow, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because people are going to show up to vote, and they're going to vote, you know, their thoughts, and we'll see how the chips fall. But I think, you know, that's peak 65. You know, that's age group is some of the largest voting bloc in the United States. And so when you think about this, what these folks are dealing with, they're saying, hey, do I have enough? Have I saved enough? Are going to be okay? Is healthcare going to derail us? Am I going to last as long as my money does? And if something happens to me, is my spouse going to be okay? And then they worry about how should I or when should I take Social Security? You know, some people are worried, is it going to be around? And I think it will be. I think the younger generation may have a little challenge, but if you're in that retirement red zone, you're going to get your Social Security benefit. all those emotional things that are weighing upon people. And so this study said that right now, of the peak 65ers, 66% of the peak 65ers are worried about having enough money for retirement, having enough cash flow for retirement. That's a big number.
It is.
They're out there running around going, am I going to be okay? Are we going to be all right? Is this all going to work out? Mm.
That's a good thing, at least, that people are focused on it, right? I mean, it's not great that people are worried, but better to have the worry than to have your head in the sand.
And definitely. And I think where it's very interesting. I had a couple that were referred to us, and they're on the younger end. They're actually closer to my age. And usually our clients, you know, are 55, 60 plus. These folks are a little younger. They're a little below 50. Been really good savers. And they had this idea of, hey, I said, so when do you think you want to retire? They threw a number out there. I'm like, oh, that seems kind of early to retire. And I said, well, you know, do you have a plan to do that? Well, no, we don't really have a plan, but that's why we're here, because I feel like we need to get this together. We got all these accounts all over the place. We know we need somebody to help us with our taxes, and we know our estate plan isn't put together. So they're motivated to get through or get started on the path. Plus, they just went through a family member passing and had to work through that whole process of transitioning assets and things. And that happens a lot, where people have that experience like, oh, I need to get this in order because I don't want this, my kids going through this or my loved ones going through it. But it was interesting to be high income earners, good savers. And when we put the numbers together and said, hey, here's the road that you're on, they're like, whoa, that's what it's going to take for us to do what we think we want to do. I'm like, yeah, it's a big number. So because your Social Security, you know, if you're going to retire at 59, you've got six, you know, we could start Social Security at 62, but we wouldn't advise that. You're going to push it out later. So you're going to have to live off of your savings for a pretty big chunk of time before you get started on Social Security. And so it wasn't all bad news. It helped them recalibrate. And I said, well, and we built some different scenarios. I said, well, what if you just worked an extra 5 years? It's like, well, I don't know if I can do 5 years. So, well, let me explain it this way. If you worked five more years, you're at your peak earning years, it's your peak PTO. If you have, and then they want to travel. I said, how much vacation are you going to have? About 6 weeks. I said, can you take those 6 weeks and three or four of those, do some of these trips that you want to take and pay for it out of cash flow? Well, yeah, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, that can make sense. Running those numbers, it dramatically extended the life of their money because they had 5 years of extra income. Their job paid for the income paid for the travel. They got paid to go on vacation with their PTO, and they didn't have to raid their retirement cookie jar to pay for all those things. And so I said, well, could you do your job for another 5 years if 6 weeks out of the year you got to live it like you're retired? Like, yeah, I think we could do that. So they left with hope and optimism and a good plan. So now they're super laser focused. They know what they have to do. They're going to tighten up a few little expenses. And they're just saying, hey, if we can work, we're going to continue to work, but we're going to have fun and do what we need to do. So you've got to start, you know, the planning process at some point. And where a lot of people had the anxiety that we're talking about here in this study is they just don't have a solid plan. They don't know how much they need. They don't know how much they need to, what it takes to live their lifestyle. They don't know how to structure their assets. And, you know, our process, we come in, we go through our budget, we really fine tune and let's say, or I should say expenses. We don't live on budgets, but we have our expense plan and saying, hey, here's what it's going to take. And then we figure out what that gap is. Say, once you have Social Security, here's the gap you're responsible for. And then there's three ways to structure that. And we have three specific ways that we do it. If someone says, hey, if I need $3,000 a month, they're pretty savvy, they're pretty risk tolerant. They're okay with having everything in the market, you know, having some cash and having market-based investments. You know, that's going to be market-based. And they know they can pull that $3,000. If the markets get choppy, they may need to pull back for a little bit, kind of tighten the belt, maybe not take as many trips until the market recovers. And then when the market takes back off and grows above the original investment, then we can maybe spend more. So that's the market-based solution to that, solving the gap. Other folks, exact opposite. They want $3,000 a month. They want it guaranteed. They want adjusted inflation. They want it showing up like a pension. Well, if you do that, you got to do something that's guaranteed or protected, right? Other people say, hey, you know what? We know we need this $3,000. We'd really like, you know, half of it to come in guaranteed and half of it to come in, you know, variable like the market. And you're going to be somewhere in between there. But it really is one of those three options, and detailing it, fine-tuning it for you to make sure that paycheck gets delivered, especially in that first 10 years of retirement, like clockwork. So you can go out, enjoy yourself, have the go-go time of retirement, and not feel the pressure like a lot of these people are feeling in this peak 65, where they're worried about, am I going to be okay? Am I going to have enough? Social Security is not going to be there. We're fortunate. Our clients and the families we serve, they've been good savers. They just need help on how to arrange things so it can be predictable and can be tax efficient.
Very good. Yeah, it's helpful, Scott, I think, just to see all these moving parts that are going to be happening over the next couple of years as people hit this kind of peak 65 time frame in their life and wonder how we're going to make this all happen. And I that story that you told really resonates with me of the folks who were trying to figure out, you know, their future. And their initial reaction, that worry, was then fear and a bit of shock when you kind of said, all right, well, let's get real about the planning. Here's what your real situation is. And they see those numbers and go, oh, boy. But then when you've got that clarity, you can put together a plan for it and actually solve the problem rather than just guessing at the problem. And so there's like this initial little bit of pain when you kind of are exposed to what the truth is of your situation. But then very clearly they had, surety and the benefit of clarity in their lives and a total change in attitude and outlook.
Absolutely. And that's what good planning is about. Because it helps you get organized, get you focused, get you on a path where we can monitor that trajectory of the path. And there's going to be one of three outcomes when we check in, when we figure out where we're headed. Either we're going to be right on track, we're going to be slightly behind schedule, or we're going to be ahead of schedule. It's just like when my wife and I flew to Las Vegas, you know, from Kansas City, very rarely was that airplane headed directly towards Las Vegas. Almost the entire time, they were making course corrections. They were one way or the other off that central path, okay? And that's what planning, you've got to have a good path that's flexible enough to make concessions for legislative change, market volatility, you know, economic cycles. We've got to be nimble enough and flexible enough to weave our way through what we're facing at this time. And I would say the last three, from 2020, March of 2020 to today, really going up to November of 2023, there was a lot of maneuvering that went through, and we're not out of the woods yet, but hopefully we're on a good path, and we'll see how 2024 holds out as far as market volatility and what the latest elections bring us, not only in the United States, but across the world.
So much to plan for, so much to be aware of. Take it step by step, though. That's the beauty of the plan that Scott has put together for folks like you listening to today's show over the years, for many, many years, in fact, helping people not only get to that retirement mark, but all the way through the various ups and downs and planning questions that arise. If you'd like to set up time to meet for a complimentary review of your situation or ask some of these financial questions that might be impacting you, don't hesitate to reach out. Here's a couple of ways that you can touch base with Scott one-on-one. You can call 913-393-4724. That's 913-393-4724. Or go online to listentoscott.com. And you can find out lots of great information on the website, listen to past episodes of the show, get lots of great financial education that way as well. Tap into that 22-plus years of experience that Scott brings to the table. And we'll put that contact info in the description of today's show so you can find it easily as well. Scott, thanks for talking to us about Peak 65, the concerns for baby boomers, and bringing to light this big event, quite literally, that's going to be happening over the next couple of years. Enjoyed the conversation with you, my friend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right, very good. That's Scott. I'm Walter. We'll see you next time right back here on Your Retirement Elevated.
Investment advisory services offered through Elevated Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.